hate, no hype, no fear.
You're listening to Truth Frequency Radio.
We are TFR.
Hello and welcome to Enemy Within, going out live on truthfrequencyradio.com on this Saturday morning. If you're listening in America, good morning to you. I'm joined by my co-host, Andy, and our guest for this week, Ole Damagard. Hello, guys.
Good morning.
Hi there. How's it going?
Well, Ole, obviously, the opening question and the opening theme is going to be the terrorist attack or terrorist attacks in France, in Paris at the minute. And what is your take on the whole situation?
My take is that I don't know why they're doing this attack. I don't know the background, but I've looked into it enough to say that there's a lot of signs of a false flag once again. It's just repeating itself, and once again, it's not very skilled carried out. You got all these sloppy details that they mess up, and so for someone like me with 30 years down the line looking into false flag operations, this is a very clear once again false flag attack.
So what stands out for you to show it as a false flag, what in particular?
You see straight away where the timeline doesn't fit the background, how they say that they kidnapped this woman at the because they didn't know where the newspaper where they were located and so on. That doesn't really make sense. Then you have this, the color of the side mirrors of the car that were white when you see the video footage of when they shot the so-called shot the police officer. Then the car they find with black, the side mirrors were black on that car. You have this thing about them finding the ID of one of the so-called terrorists in the car. It's just like 9/11, where the only thing that survived the buildings being dustified was the passport of one of these so-called hijackers. It's very, very obvious. They need to push these things right in our face so that we won't, so that we will easily buy it. And then you have this whole thing with the execution of this police officer when he's lying down in the street. I don't know if you've seen the footage and if you enlarge it into a great detail and then slow it down, you will see that when he runs by the victim, then when the so-called terrorist run by the police officers and is said to have shot him in the head, there's no recoil in the weapon. This is a Kalashnikov. It has quite a powerful recoil. There's no shown of impact to the head of the victim, which would be very natural. You would, with a powerful weapon like that, you would have a bullet with a caliber like that would go through the skull. It is it's only 22 calibers and less, where the bullet itself just enters the skull and then starts ricocheting inside. With a more powerful weapon like the Kalashnikov, it goes straight through most of the time. And here there's no impact at all. And then when you see it, there's like a puff of smoke that looks like there's a bullet ricocheting against the pavement. But when you slow it down and you really go into detail, you will see that the left hand of the police officer, when he rolls around, It's like he has got some kind of small smoke grenade or some kind of thing, smoke bomb or something like that in his left hand that he it gets shot out. You can see it, the direction, everything. It comes from his left hand. If you go forward and backwards in slow motion, it's very, very obvious that is where the smoke comes from. And you can also see that what it is, I'm not sure, but that there's a small black object where this explosion comes from.
Well,
then you have the footage on the rooftops where people are so-called hiding because of fear for being shot at, and two of these people have bulletproof vests on. The footage down the street, there's absolutely no traffic, which is standard with these false flag operation, because they cut off the street where it's going to happen. They cut it off on both ends so that they're in total control. I mean, it's just like when they do a film set. Then you enlarge that area and you see there's three people running down the street. You enlarge the image. It says police on the back of them. They're black with police on the back. And then they run down. And then afterward, that's when the two so-called shooters, as far as I understand, they come down the street. But the whole idea is that the police should come because of the shooters, not the other way around. And it's just, also the reporter, because when they're false flag operations, you will very much see that media, most of the time, are very much involved, the handpicked reporters and so on. And it's built on this old Roman template, problem, reaction, solution. The ones that are behind this, they are secretly creating a problem to get the emotional reaction from us, and the reaction they always want is, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then we will be served their solution very, very quickly. So nowadays, you will see something awful happens, like a mass shooting or something like that, a terror bomb or a virus. The reporter is there, they explain the problem, somebody has been shot, it's very, very awful. And they show images to get the reaction from us, which is, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then within 30 seconds, the reporter will serve us the solution, which will be gun control, or it's the Muslims, or whatever it is, they want to divert our attention to in that direction.
Yeah, and before you go on, Ollie, we have to take up this, what you've talked about, the video and... you saying that it looks as if it's faked. For me, I've looked at the video, and Andy's looked at the video. For me, it's a very terrible video anyway. It looks like it's shot off a mobile phone to me. It looks like it's shot off a mobile phone with... I forgot what they call it, the software that actually stabilizes the image. It's definitely got image stabilization on it. Anyway, so somebody in the chat room is saying that it wasn't an AK, it was a 94, known for a delayed recoil. The cop does look pale in the video. That's because the blood is rushing to the central body core, having already been shot, and he was shot through the heart, not through the head. It seemed to me when I watched the video that he was probably shot through the neck, and it would knock you straight out anyway, and then you would die of hemorrhage.
I say let an expert look at this, let medical expertise have a look at this, have military expertise look at this that are really into these weapons and know exactly. Delayed recoil, I've never heard such a thing, it's very, very odd. And I would also say even if it's delayed, there's no recoil at all as far as I can see.
Well, I've shot similar rifles in a range. And if you're used to handling such a rifle, you don't really get much of a recoil, especially on single fire. I've seen people on YouTube shooting AKs, but he said, the guy in the chat room saying this is not an AK, but I've seen people shooting two AKs on single fire, one in each hand. They don't have much recoil if you're used to handling them and you have a really good grip.
But do you see this person have a really good grip and there's no recoil at all?
I think he does. I think he does have a good grip. One of the things that has stood out is the military training. It seems like these guys have had some military training or have been in a battle situation.
For sure, they're very, very relaxed. Very relaxed. There's absolutely no action or intensity around these people. They just run by him, fire his gun, and then very calmly goes into the car and takes off very slowly.
Andy, do you have any comments?
Yeah, Ole, I've just put an article in the chat room and also in the Skype chat. My Google Translate is not working at the moment, and my German is a little bit rusty. But it seems to indicate that the prosecutor who's dealing with this event seems to have committed suicide. That seems very suspicious to me, along with everything else. What do you think to that?
When it comes to these events, there would be a whole heap of strange things occurring. Because the thing is, if you have a natural event, if something really happens, the truth is the truth. It's very simple. You won't have the conflicting evidence. You won't have things that, or people have seen different things, or the vehicles are not the correct ones. It would just be the way it is. But when you have fake things or lies that start circulating in the groups that are behind it, that's when you have all of these things happening. So, once again, I have no idea. I didn't even know that he had died, but this is just one thing, one more thing. It's I'm a friend with the CIA whistleblower Chip Tatum. He was a former deep cover agent for 25 years, black op assassin, Night Stalker pilot, one of the pilots in the Iran-Contra scandal, guns out, cocaine into the state. And he was also the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private hit team, a very ultra-secret hit team called Pegasus, that carried out at least 17 assassinations globally. And he was taking part of some false flag operations early in his career. He said that when they carry these things out, they have like staff meetings, very down-to-earth staff meetings. They got like marketing agencies and so on, how to make the most powerful impact on the population. So it's a matter of what effect is it they want to accomplish. They set up the whole thing, how it's going to be carried out. They have people in media. They have everything on standby. They use their own skilled people. Everything is secured, the area secured, the parameters, everything. Everybody involved, that goes for pedestrians, background action, vehicles, everybody is in their control. And they try to keep it to a very, very small group, as small as possible. And then once it's carried out, then right afterwards, they have a second like staff meeting where they go through the reactions. Did they manage to get the reaction they were looking for? Did the population accept their solution, their step on the agenda? Because it's every single time it goes in the same direction. It's more and more surveillance, more and more militarized police that we, the normal people, will just more freely give up all our liberties, our civil and human rights, and to have an easier and closer gap between us and martial law all the time. That is what they're trying to freak us out so that we will accept their agenda. So on these secondary staff meetings, they go through the whole thing. If it has not been accomplished what they wanted, they do a secondary thing to amplify the whole thing. And this is also where, if they start having problems with people involved, they will take care of it. Here we have somebody who suddenly discovered, like this prosecutor, that, oh my God, this is not what I accepted to be part of. I had no idea. Because many of these, I would say more or less all of these operations are very, very, very compartmentalized. People only know their very little deal of it. And many times this starts as a drill that suddenly goes live in the middle, and many of the people involved don't even know that it's gone live. So maybe this prosecutor, this is a total theory on my part, I have no idea, I haven't looked into it yet, but maybe this is one of these people who said, oh my God, this is not, I don't want to be part of this in any way or form. And then suddenly he so-called commits suicide to shut him up before anything gets going.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Ole. I've also this morning listened to the latest report from James Corbett, who does the Corbett Report. Are you familiar with him?
God, yeah. I have great respect for him.
Yeah, he's saying that we're all absolutely obsessing about this incident at the moment, and we need to be wary of what else is in the news that they're trying to bury. A possibility being Bill Clinton's involvement with this Epstein paedophile billionaire. He's been flying to his island multiple times, and that's going to harm Hillary's election chances. Do you think that could be a possible reason why this has been staged, rather than just to keep Alon from going off message again?
No, I think Corbett is, normally he's right on spot, I would say, very much here again. If you remember 2013, late May, just before the Bilderberg meeting 2013 and just outside of Watford, when that was about to happen, that was the first year when this group finally came forward and admitted that they actually existed, because up until then they had just totally denied, even though it was created 54, everyone who has pointed out that the Bilderberg group was part of the elite had been called a tinfoil hat and a conspiracy theorist and all of these things. Then when they finally had to admit it, what they did was they invited the media instead and the truth movement in this fenced-in corral like a kilometer down the road from where the hotel was. But just when the international media was sort of like coming to a point where they said, oh my God, does this group really exist? Can it really be possible that they've had these super secret meetings for so many years? And so the journalists from many different countries started packing their bags to go there. And just a few days before that happened, boom, that was where the so-called beheading in Woolwich was. So suddenly the media totally diversion, looked to the right. So everybody was involved with the so-called beheading, which is one of my all-time favorites, because that was so badly carried out.
It was very sloppy, wasn't it?
Oh, I love it. I sometimes give two-hour interviews just going into great details so that people can judge for themselves. Very, very sloppily carried out. But it worked. You know, the whole media was suddenly focused, the Muslims, that's where the problem is. And so they carried out the Bilderberg meeting with no coverage, more or less, and they got away with it. Here we are again. Bill Clinton is in deep crap, and they do one again. They did it with the Monica Lewinsky thing, was also a diversion, I would say, away from the Iran-Contras and this whole thing. So media was so focused for months about, did he get a blowjob or did he not? Instead of focusing on what really happened, what is going on. So I think, listen to Corbett report, very, very intelligent observation. And when these things happen, they want you to look in a specific direction. Check out the other directions. If they want to say, look forward, look to the left, look up, look down, look behind them, what is going on? And because many times these false flags are made as diversions to, you know, like blow a bomb up there, everybody will look in that direction. Check out what's going on in the background.
One question I have about this incident is how quickly they actually knew who actually carried out the attacks. And they said that they'd been watching these guys, which is always the case. They've always been watching these guys. So if they were watching these guys, did they not know that they had weapons?
But this is the reason why they know about them is because they are the ones who have trained them. You know, when you look at the, I don't know how many so-called terrorist attacks there's been in the States now. I think it was about 23 or something like that, a year or so ago. And every single one of them, when you track it down, except for two that was stopped by private people, they were supported, they were supplied, they were trained by the FBI. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does that tell you? So these people that are so-called terrorists are supported from the inside. We're talking about the enemy within. I mean, you have the beautiful name on this program. That is where you have to look at it. That the enemy, they want us to think the enemy is outside. The correct observation is it's within, and they're trying to do something now. I just read some Danish newspapers where a member of the Danish government who's been connected with the Bilderberg before, as far as I know, She said, oh my God, this is an attack on the liberty of free speech, and we need to go to war against this. Not literally war, but we need to get this going, you know, and against the Muslims, against the terrorists, the war on terror, all of these things.
Question in the chat room, could the 300 plus billion in petrol dollars that Saudi Arabia has invested in the last 10 years in reinventing Islam as Wahhabism have something to do with it?
I have absolutely no idea. This is unknown information for me.
Just what you were saying, that's the standpoint I have in most of these incidents. I think they are funded, they are watched, and even if they're not funded, these groups, I think they just let these things happen because it plays into the hands of government either way. As long as it's not an attack on any government officials, they don't care who gets killed. Small attacks, they can just let these happen because it plays into the hands. The first thing that Sky News said, I watched the first reports as this happened, was we may need to put airport security in all shops.
But this, Tom, is exactly what I said. Listen to it exactly when it happens. Problem, reaction, solution. Oh, my God, something has happened. Get the reaction. Oh, my God, Beth, come from the kitchen. Have you seen this? Have you seen this? Check it out. The terrorists are here again. The reaction. Something needs to be done. And then they will serve the solution. The reporter on site nowadays will very often serve you the solution. What is that airport security thing? This happened in the street of Paris. What has airport security anything to do with that? But that's one of the things maybe they want to push forward here.
I do think also one of the things we might be getting distracted from is there's been massive attacks on the Russian economy. And it seems Mr. Putin is playing a very clever game. I heard it, I think it was Veterans Today said that the jiu-jitsu method is to wait for your enemy to attack you and then use his strength back against him. And he's playing a very clever game of chess, and he doesn't seem to be worried at all by the attacks that are happening because he's got China backing him. And he's no fears at all, and the petrodollar is just being destroyed. Do you think that could be part of the reason for the distraction as well?
I have no idea. Like I say, it's so easy to come with speculations. At this point, I have no idea. What I can only say that, okay, this happened. It's got all the signs of a false flag that is not carried out with very cleverly. And but also, according to Chip from the CIA and so on, a few years ago, they started pumping up the speed. In the old days, they used like what David Icke calls stepping stones, you know, a little out to the right, a little out to the left, a little in the middle, so that you wouldn't see, you wouldn't notice that they were pushing forward. It was very important for them that we didn't notice that they were just pushing this forward and nobody would discover it. But now it's full speed ahead. So they changed the agenda to, as far as information that has leaked out to me, is that the agenda nowadays is scare of the weak. They're just hitting us all the time from all different directions so that we will not be able to focus on one single incident and see what's going on. I mean, in the old days, since I've been in this for 30 years, there was like the Kennedy assassination. Bam, that was it. You could spend years looking into that. Then came Martin Luther King, then came Robert, then came... And that was it. But now, it's like, okay, last week, boom, that was it, that was it, that was it, that was it. You can see on a weekly basis, if it's not Sydney, then it's Paris, then it would be Copenhagen, then it would be Los Angeles, then it would... So everybody is totally distracted all the time from... to see that these things, if you really go and dig into them, they're all connected. I would say after so many years, everything that I looked into in the long run, after years of research, I found that they're all connected. At this point, I'm not even sure if there is such a thing as a real terrorist. I tell you, I don't know. Not the ones that we have been described as terrorists. the real terrorist walks around in suits, and you see them on TV every day looking very nice and clean shaven and, you know, up in the government and beyond. These are the criminals, you know. But the ones calling Muhammad and Mustafa and these ones, I don't think there are such a thing.
And George Soros also.
Well, he's also got a clean shave, you know. But this is the positive thing, because I used to think that, oh my God, I live in a crazy world, you know, lots of violence, lots of wars. We normal people cannot get along. Wars are necessary, apparently, and we can't avoid them. But when you look into it, the more you look into it, the smaller the group behind it becomes. And the way I see it now, the group that are behind so much mayhem in the world are just like a few thousand in total. And we are, as far as I've been told, about 7 billion people. So, happy days. It's an absolute joke that we let them control us the way they do.
Absolutely, yeah. That is so right there. I about real terrorists, I did have a friend contact me this week suggesting that perhaps the group that did this in France was part of the ISIS group that had gone rogue, that, you know, the CIA and the mercenaries and the British intelligence people in there.
Going to break, Andy. I'll cut you off there. We'll take this up after the break. This is The Enemy Within on TruthFrequencyRadio.com.
I love the chocolate.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at SynthUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
White Buffalo with John Phillips.
Tuesday through Thursdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Live on truthfrequencyradio.com. Just to repeat your question that you were getting into before the break, Andy.
Yeah, I had a friend contact me earlier in the week, and he was saying that he thought that the attacks initially were possibly elements of ISIS gone rogue, and rather than following the message from the CIA and the mercenaries, British intelligence, whoever's controlling them. But it doesn't seem to be the case now at all, does it, Ole?
Once again, many of these things are hoaxes, built on hoaxes, are built on hoaxes, are built on hoaxes. I mean, when you start really looking into Al-Qaeda, you will find that it's a total CIA creation. Then the ISIS is an update of Al-Qaeda, I would say. And now they build someone on this ISIS. You look at the structure, the first leader, I can't even remember his name now, the first leader of ISIS, if you really look into it. The first guy, I think he was killed in 2005. Then in 2006, he was arrested. Then in 2006, again, he escaped jail. And in 2007 or something like that, he was killed. And then he escaped. Then he was, the leader position was taken over by somebody. The thing was that they needed to come up with a name that stuck to people. They can't have that a leader that they need to spread info about so that people really get into it, that he has a name like Abdul Khalum Khalakhamah, because you can never remember that. So in my opinion, they were really scratching their heads trying to come up with something. So they call him Baghdadi because, I mean, they've blown the crap out of poor Baghdad for so many years that Baghdad is a name that really sticks with people. So the second leader of ISIS was Baghdadi. You look at this guy, he's got an incredible CV as well. First he was he raised to power, then he was arrested, then he was killed, then he escaped, then he was killed again as far as I remember. Then came a second Baghdadi that looked totally different from him. He's the one in charge now, as far as I know. And he was, he's not dead yet, but he's been arrested. Somebody of these guys were also shot dead during an escape attempt or something like that. So incredible people they have in this force, because they apparently can both die and resurrect and come back. And the thing is, it's not real what we're being pumped out in media. That is, you need to be aware of these things and not buy into them. And you need to reverse the tape back in history to see what is going on. The war on terror was built on 9/11, which was a totally inside job. So all of the things that are included in the war on terror, the Afghan war, the second Iraq war, these things, were all built on a big lie. And they just keep using the same lies, they update them, but it doesn't make them more true.
Is it actually true, I don't have any friends that speak Arabic, is it actually true that Al-Qaeda does mean the database?
No, it is, yeah, exactly. It's the Arabic word for database, and it's the CIA's own name for the database of their own agents. They have trained them and equipped them, you know.
One of the books I read actually said that the name Al-Qaeda and the creation of groups was solely because in America you can't be charged with terrorism or conspiracy if you're not part of a group. So they created this imaginary group, which some people are swearing allegiance to now, but there doesn't seem to be any coherent group across the world as it's portrayed in the media.
It's a conspiracy as soon as you're more than one person. To two people that comes up with a criminal attempt or a criminal idea that they want to carry out is by law called a conspiracy. So this is why they always want to blame many of these horrible so-called terrorist acts or mass shootings on a lone crazy guy. The reason they want him alone is because then there's by law no conspiracy. They don't not have to look into it. And why crazy is because then there's no motive. So this guy was crazy. He just went up, shot the prime minister. Thank you very much. He committed suicide. Case closed. Thank you. Good folks. Keep on moving. Go back home and forget the whole thing. The same with groups. The same with groups. They also want them very extreme and in a small little group so that you can totally disregard the whole thing about a bigger conspiracy being behind it.
An interesting fact that not a lot of people are aware of is that suicide bombing, the technique of suicide bombing, was introduced to the Mujahideen by the CIA. That wasn't a tactic before it was introduced.
I know. And so many of these so-called acts by Mujahideen were backed up by the CIA. So that's what I'm saying. Once you really look into these things, I don't say these things lightly. You know, I spent 30 years of my life. I'm not paid. I'm just an ordinary guy. I could get on with my life, but I've just focused a main part of my life trying to expose what is going on because so many people are being hurt about this, innocent people around the globe. And I even had friends that was murdered, two friends in Sweden that was, we were looking very deep into the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister. They were murdered because we came too close to the truth. And I had to leave Sweden because I was being threatened. I felt I don't want to become statistics. You know, they hit very hard, this group. And the only thing they fear is the truth getting out there. So this is why programs like this is incredibly important, I think. And also why I focus so much time on trying to spread information about the methods they are using. Instead of going into great detail about every single attack and so on, show the methods, show the templates they're using so that normal people can become aware of. As soon as they start seeing the sign, wait a second, before I buy this one, let me just look into it a little bit more. Because you will see this being repeated on such a tight frequency now. In my opinion, they're getting desperate. They know that the spotlight has been aimed at them big time and there's no way for them to go. So they're trying to speed it up to try and push us into this corral where they can control us. But it's too late, in my opinion. The ship is going down. Beautiful times ahead if we can just keep the focus and transcend this obstacle. And just as soon as they try to do these things, it's like, I try to inspire people to, instead of us always being one step behind with these false flag attacks and so on, is to, if every single time you hear about a drill, maybe in your hometown, or you see that there's like a lot of strange vehicles or they're setting up, it will look just like if they set up for a film scene, a film set. There would be extras, buses with extras, there would be strange vehicles, that looks very official, like army vehicles or military vehicles, police vehicles. They will close off streets and so on if it's in a city. As soon as you see them start to do this, or there is an ad in the local newspaper saying tomorrow there will be an anti-terrorist drill or an anti-mass shooting drill, go down there, bring your mobile phones, film them. Make it very obvious that they are being observed. Be more than one so that you're not on your own, because then you can get arrested and whatever can happen. Go down there in a group, film them, make it very obvious that we see them, so that if they even try to do anything, it would be disclosed before they even pull the trigger. you know. So maybe we can be one step ahead of them and start stopping these things from even happening.
That was one question I was going to ask you, Ole, because when the Boston Marathon thing took place, I live in a town in England called Boston, and I saw Boston Marathon terror drill, and I didn't realize we were having a marathon, so I clicked on this link, and it was a newspaper called the Boston Globe. I straight away twigged what was going to happen. My partner was a little bit skeptical about the nature of the false flag attacks, and I tried to raise the alarm with various people in the States that I know that have got high profile, but I didn't get any response in time, so that was quite frustrating. But I was going to ask you if you got any advice, which obviously you've given there. But that was quite a distressing time, realizing that it was going to happen and not being able to do anything about it.
But your initiative was beautiful, Andy. Absolutely perfect. You know, as soon as you saw it, boom, act. You know,
so yeah.
I did a similar thing in Copenhagen at the Bilderberg meeting this summer, and I humbly believe that I might have been able to stop a false flag massacre there, which was, and the way I did it was, I don't know, have I spoken about this before, Tom, on your program?
Not on Truth Frequency. Please go ahead and explain what.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the thing was that I was invited up there as one of the key speakers at the Bilderberg meeting this year, not inside the meeting, but outside, being part of the Truth Movement that was gathering. And so I flew in the day before the meeting was going on, and I was walking around because as soon as I came to the airport, I was picked up, and I said, please bring me to the hotel so I can have a look around before the whole meeting starts and so on. So I was there about 12 hours before it was supposed to start. I drove there, and from day one, this was like the first year when they really went open that with these meetings, the locations and so on. And up until then, they have always chosen on, not always, but most of the time, hotels that have been very secluded, difficult to reach, or maybe up in the mountains or out in the countryside, where it's easily, where they can easily control and secure all parameters around the area so that nobody uninvited can come in or even look in or take photos of the participants and so on. So they really try to have a lot of security around the area, and sometimes people have been flown in helicopters, but most of the time they've come in long rows of black limos, where photographer, my brother included, have worked very hard over the years to try and slow these vehicles down so that they could take photos through the side windows and start exposing who the members are, because they've been very, very secretive about this. Anyway, so when I came to Copenhagen, I found from day one that the location was so oddly chosen, because from a security point of view, from their point of view, awful, awful. The Marriott Hotel in Copenhagen is very central. It's right on the side of a canal. And it's with glass, the whole front and the back of this big hotel is glass, so you can see into it. You can see people walk up and down in the stairs. The entrance to the hotel is right by one of the main streets going through Copenhagen, four lane. And where the entrance is very close to the traffic passing by, so that every single vehicle that would pass could be a possible threat, you know, a machine gun out the window, a hand grenade, a bazooka, whatever. On the other side of the canal, hundreds of houses where every single rooftop or window could be a possible threat, you know, missile, whatever. So I thought that was very, very odd to choose such a central hotel that was so oddly located. So I came there and I started walking around in the air, and what hit me right away was that there was more or less no security at all. I thought, this is so odd, very, very strange. And so I was checking out the buildings around, I was taking photos in many different angles, just trying to figure out what was going on, because this group, I mean, it's not because there's stupid, these people. They have the best type of advisors, military advisors, security things. So why on earth did they choose this hotel? So I looked around, and if you look from above, you can find on my website, lightonconspiracies.com, lightonconspiracies.com. On the front page, there is a link where it says false flag massacre or something like that with a question mark. You click on that, you will see aerial photos of the area and a lot of descriptions around what was going on there. So maybe it's easier to follow them. But if you look from above, you got the water canal, you got the hotel, then you got one of these main streets. Then on the other side, there was a big area, open area with gravel, which is used as a parking lot for the police in Denmark or Copenhagen. And then on the other side of this parking lot is the headquarters of the Danish police. Then on both the sides, the top and the bottom of this parking area, were big banks and insurance companies, big buildings, big buildings. But when I looked at it, it was like this parking space was, they fenced it in, and that was where the truth movement was welcome to for the next day. So the police was going to sort of show the way, in exactly like in a corral, you know, get the sheep in there so that they're in a controlled space. And also this hotel is very close to the train station and central bus station of Copenhagen. So it's perfect from a security point of view, from, if you look at it from the police point of view, to get whoever comes from the bus and trains and everything, let them walk down the street and right into this corral where they can be controlled. I can totally respect that. But the more I looked at this area, it did not make sense, like I said, from a security point of view. So I was looking, why would they choose this hotel? And then suddenly I saw a possibility. I thought, oh my God, it's perfect. It is absolutely perfect for a false flag massacre. So this is just a scenario, if you look at it from a totally different point of view. If you got the truth movement inside this parking area, you get it controlled by normal police who have absolutely no idea what's going down. You got the headquarters, the police headquarters, right by the side. So that is where the police is controlled by this group, the Bilderberg group. The hotel itself, that's secure. And the side, the buildings, both to the top and the bottom sort of the parking area, were banks and insurance companies owned and controlled by members of the elite and the Bilderberg group. So the whole area was sort of in their control. It was closed off, and I thought this would be a perfect place for them to carry out a thing like this. So if you imagine that you fill the hotel with explosives, just, you know, like you got in Oslo, other buildings, Oklahoma City, these type of things. The building is more or less empty, but filled with explosives. The explosives are aimed in the direction so that it will blow the whole front of the building out on top of the truth movement on the other side of the streets. You got the truth movement there. You send in a few doubles. You send in like two, like maybe five, six of these black limos with doubles, with extras. They might look like Henry Kissinger or something like that, you know, because like when you come to these meetings, you are no closer than 50, 60 meters. And so you can just see like a few seconds, like, whoa, that was Henry Kissinger, because you're looking at your telelens. But that might as well be somebody with a, you know, makeup or whatever. You see a strange hairdo, oh, Queen Beatrix. It's very, very easy to get away with a thing like that. And you will have extras, just like in the marathon bombing, the Sandy Hook, all of these. You will see that the extras very often have like a strap around the neck with an ID, or they have a color scheme so that they know the director of the whole show, if you want to call it that, will know that, okay, everybody with green, can you please move to sector one? You in the background, actually, who's the background? You there, the blue ones, please move over there, and so on. So, and the people that came the next day all had these tags, and I did not recognize one single one as part of the Tzaddik group. Not one of them. Anyway, but if you imagine explosives inside the building, explosives underneath the gravel, secondary explosives there, very easy to position these a few days ahead. You get the whole truth movement in there. You get through in these buildings on the sides. You can have film crews, so you can have different angles, and then in a so-called press helicopter, you can have aerial footage from above. Then you have a film crew down the street where you can have a wide angle, so that you have both the front of the side and the front of the hotel in one to the right in this film shoot, and on the left hand side is where the truth moment is. So this is what you set up. Then you need action. When it comes to these false flag operations, you need actions. It's just like an action film. It doesn't work with 13 people standing saying boo hey or something like that, or that you blow up a bomb outside a barn and some cows are killed. No, you need action, drama, blood, guts, all of these things. So you need to agitate the truth movement. So the way to do it is send in a few provocateurs. You will have seen these many times in Ukraine and other. You will see these people. You have a crowd that is perfectly peaceful and calm and so on, and suddenly you have people coming in with hoods and looking like hoodlums, starting to scream, throwing things, throwing Molotov cocktails, anything like that to stir the whole energy. And then if that doesn't work, they could just send in a secondary team of provocateurs. These would be dressed in Danish police uniforms. They would then grab one of these people, which would be one of their own people, but looking like a truther, and then drag him down right in front of the whole fenced-in area, maybe beating him up a little bit, and that would get the whole crowd going, you know, shouting, screaming, let him go, let him go. And then once that's gone, take one background action, and boom, out blows the whole front of the building, blows up and down, killing a lot of these people in the truth movement. Then you would right away pump out in media, oh my God, look at this truth movement. Here they are saying they want a beautiful, peaceful future, and what have they done? They placed a bomb and blown up this poor, innocent group, these poor, nice gentlemen who are just meeting for a nice cup of tea and a biscuit inside the hotel. They've blown them up, and look at this, oh my God. That would be the problem. Reaction from the people, oh my God, oh my God. Because also, in this area where the truth movement was supposed to meet, the very next morning, I found a massive big pentagram, like 6 meters in diameter, made from train sleepers, you know, these big wooden thing where the train rails go on. Somebody had built that. If you imagine that being, you have an aerial footage and you look from above, you got the whole truth movement, you got smoke, bomb, dead bodies, everything, and then the pentagram in the middle of it, that would just make an incredibly powerful impact globally when it's sent out in media. Your reaction would be, oh my God, something needs to be done. And then their solution would be, my God, we need to ban all rights to demonstrate. We need to ban all rights to meet in big groups. We need to censor the internet, because that is where the so-called truth movement shares this type of information, which is terrorist information, dangerous for you, the member of the population. So we need to shut that down. We need to shut down alternative media and so on. Anyway, I'm sorry if I make this a long story. But when I saw that, I thought, oh my God, either my mind is playing me tricks, or since I've been down this road for many years looking at these events, could this really happen? Could this be for real? So what I did was I went straight home to my friend. I phoned up Chip Tatum, this whistleblower, CIA agent I told you about before, who has been taking part of false flag operations himself. I said, please, Chip, hear me out. I described the whole scenario, the whole setting, the buildings, the everything. He came with questions like, okay, so on the water side, were there any Did they have any security there? Were there divers in the water? Did they have military, boats? Were there soldiers? I said absolutely nothing. There was nothing. It was just starting to build like a concrete wall around the whole hotel. Otherwise than that, nothing except for three black limos parked right outside the entrance, almost like a business card saying, yes, we are in here, that type of thing. So I got into great detail. He said, he asked me about many things. I answered. He said, you might be spot on. This smells a long way that this could be one of these setups. So he said, please get out of there and be aware of strange packages. I think he said, parking meters that could be set and placed off location, sort of, that could be with explosives inside or things like that. So, and he said also, beware of strange noises. I'm not sure what he meant by that. I said, thank you so much, but absolutely not. I'm going to be on site for sure so that I can try and stop this. Anyway, I called Professor Jim Fetzer as well, who is a 9/11 expert and JFK expert, and who has also dedicated his whole adult life almost to expose these things. He's a former Marine as well. I said, please, Jim, hear me out. I described the whole thing. He said, oh, my God, it sounds just like one of these again. I contacted another guy. He had been in special forces and security agencies for 24 years. They did the same thing. He said about how are the escape routes, are they easily accessible? I said, very easy. You blow the whole thing up. You got the whole Copenhagen to get away with. Everybody will focus on the smoke and the bombs. No problem whatsoever. So he said, I think you're spot on. After I had got these confirmations, I started calling out international radio stations. I'm not sure if I called you anyone I could find online at that time, because I spent until 4 in the morning.
Just stop there, Ole. We're just going to break. We'll just take it.
Okay.
Video. Oh. I'm right.
Haven't you always wanted your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker? To get the word out about the fastest growing news talk outlet in the independent media? Joe Joseph here for TruthFrequencyRadio.com. KTFRN and LibertyStickers.com have teamed up to give you your very own Truth Frequency Radio bumper sticker for free. Just go to TruthFrequencyRadio.com/stickers today. And don't forget to visit our friends at LibertyStickers.com, home of the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. Their vast selection and quality of stickers are second to none. TrueFrequencyRadio.com, because silence is consent.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency. This
is Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to Enemy Within, live on truthfrequencyradio.com on the 10th of January. We're joined today by our guest, Orlia Damagard. Just before the break, Orlia, you were getting into your experience at Bilderberg and possibly averting a false flag. You were just up to when you got back and started contacting all the radio shows, including ours.
Yeah, it's not my intention to rant on or polish my own glory. I'm just saying that this is a way of pre-expose them to defuse these situations. So the more of us that can do similar things like Andy, the way he reacted, my way, the way I reacted, and so on, and if people can do that more and more, it's a wonderful way of dealing with it, I think. So I'll just go on a little bit, but because what I did was I contacted I don't know how many different radio shows in Canada, the US, Australia, New Zealand, different countries in Europe. And what I did was I got everybody to record the time and date when this was recorded. And I said, and then I went on and said, this is what I expect might happen. I described the whole scenario, what would be a possible scenario. And so on. And these radio hosts were absolutely incredible. They just pumped it out there within half an hour. Boom, 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 boom. It was out globally. And so I did that until 4 o'clock in the morning. Then the very next morning when I went to the hotel, unfortunately it seemed like I scared away quite a few of the truth moment because not a lot of people came. But in one way that was just great because they could not create commotion with so few people either. Anyway, nothing happened. I don't know if this was imaginary or if it was planned, but I've got different inside information afterwards that this was meant to go down, but that it was stopped. The thing is, when I spoke to Chip later on, he said that when they carry out these things, it's one false flag operation. That's just one part of a big agenda. And they got a very tight timeline or a very strict timeline when they carry these out. And he says when a timeline is interrupted like this, this can affect things globally in a very negative way for them. And he said sometimes an interruption like that can really, you know, like create major obstacles because they need to delay other things as well. So it can get take quite a while for them to get back on track. So the more that we normal people can disrupt their timeline, the better it is. So maybe if you get inspired by this story, please use your mobile phone, stream straight up on the on YouTube when you see these things before they even happen. And also, if a thing should happen, you know, there's a false flag or a drill going on somewhere, you film before maybe something awful actually happens, then this type of footage can be extremely important as evidence where you can compare before and after when you look at the crime scene. So in it, either way, it's a very, very strong move forward, I think, for normal people to take the power back.
One thing that I've noticed with this Paris incident, one thing that stands out is the terrible media reporting and the confusion that it's caused. There seems to be, for me, this is the one incident that has the most false reporting that I have ever seen in my life. Full detailed articles of events that didn't even happen, that were put right instantly within an hour by another article. Is it on purpose? Do they create this world of confusion in the media on purpose? Or do you think it's a thing of media outlets wanting to report something first?
I think that when you have a false flag like this, you have the whole story set up beforehand. You have, you know, information on the patsies, the whole thing has been set up, the fake evidence, everything is on standby, and then boom, it goes down. And when it happens, especially if these people are not very good at what they're doing or not very experienced, like here in Europe, we're not so used to these false flag mass shootings as they are in the States and so on. So there would be more mistakes, and also people get very nervous when this happens. You will see, like, for instance, if we take the JFK assassination, Lyndon Johnson, who knew that Kennedy was about to get killed, he was in the follow car behind it, and you can see when the car with Lyndon Johnson goes round the corner at the Texas School Book Depository, before the first shots are fired, somebody's trying to get out on the left-hand side, and the back door is open, and Lyndon Johnson is already lying down in the seat. You know, this is beforehand, inside information. They know it's going down, they're nervous, and you get this kind of, the timeline doesn't fit in. You know, there are mistakes making because people are so nervous. Just like with 9/11, you had this BBC reporter that was reporting about Building 7 going down, and you can see it's right there behind her when she's reporting. She was, I think, 20 minutes too early. You know, synchronicity.
That was James Standley.
Well, there you go. This is the synchronicity, and especially when it's different countries, different time zones. You have these things that go wrong.
They denied they even reported that at first.
I know,
BBC
I know.
They denied it.
But what can you do but laugh? But
I mean, the debunkers about it say, well, the building was creaking, and the firefighters were saying, oh, that building might collapse. But
they were saying it
straight up. Why would you deny it? Why wouldn't you just go with the debunker story of, oh, well, we thought it was going to collapse, so that's why it got pushed through the media?
But, Tom, up until that day, no steel-framed skyscraper had ever collapsed due to fire in the entire history of steel-framed skyscrapers, including the one that was hit by a bomber in the 40s. That was the Empire State, wasn't it? So the whole story was absolutely ridiculous.
The thing is, though, Andy, like I say, if it was like the debunkers say, and it was creaking, which it was, and the firefighters thought it was going to collapse, why would you lie afterwards, though, about reporting it early? Why would you just bare-faced lie? That obviously indicates that you had prior knowledge.
It's just sloppy.
It was something completely different to the official story.
Yeah, but if you get caught with your pants down, you know, the normal human reaction is try to lie your way out of it. But and the more people that are involved, the more lies. This is, you know, the wonderful thing with truth. It's very, very simple. You don't have to mess around with it. You don't have to remember it. You just tell the truth. This is what happened. But when you're talking about fake events or a conspiracy with multiple people involved, the lies will just, you know, one lie will lead to another one, another lie will lead, and in the end, nobody knows what somebody else has said, and it's just like an absolute mess. And that's why they start having to eliminate people, you know, because, oh my God, that person over there knows too much, so we need to get Pop Hiff off, you know, knock him off. That once that's done, oh my God, the assassination there, then there's this problem around that death. What are we going to do? We need to kill that one over there, and we need to silence them. And it's wonderful for someone like me, because lies create more lies and lies and lies.
Yeah.
And after a while, it's so obvious.
Well, one question that was put to me as soon as I knew that you were coming on with us this weekend, a friend of mine contacted me and said, would I ask you the question, why nobody ever asks why Al-Qaeda, or whatever they're called these days, never seem to attack Israel?
Well, apparently he asked the question. But it's a very, it's a very good question. I mean, put it forward. Why? That would be, it should be a main target, I would say, from their point of view. But there are never any attacks except attacks from Gaza, where they, you know, where they shoot like a firecracker or something like that, that will then say that it's okay for them to come in with fighter planes and just bomb the absolute crap out of this poor fenced-in area where people have no defense whatsoever. It's false flags once again. These rockets that are fired from Gaza, I tell you, I do not believe. From why on earth would they do a thing like that when they know that the retaliation would be like thousandfold? It's the same thing. You need a reason for them to, a problem for the rest of us to accept their agenda. You know, it's like, it's a classical one. All, as far as I know, wars in modern times have been built on false flag operations. And a false flag is an old naval term where you took your own ship and you changed the flag to the enemy's flag. You let your own ship attack you, and then you would say, oh my God, we've been attacked by the enemy. That will justify us going there and rape and plunder and totally crush the enemy. And you see this again and again. Very often the so-called attacker is a very weak, poor little country or group or whatever that has no interest in it. And then that will justify them being totally squashed by the main powers.
Yeah, that same friend did also point out to me, it's no secret nowadays that the Bush family were financing Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party way before the Second World War. And he did say that the whole reason behind the Second World War was purely to set up the Zionist State of Israel. Any comments on that, Ollie?
I think when you look at big, big conspiracies, I mean, the conspiracy behind the Second World War is massive. To do a thing like that, it's not one reason, it's multiple reasons. And yeah. I cannot claim that I'm an expert enough to say things like about that. But what I know is that Prescott Bush, which is the dad of George Bush Senior, he was the guy, one of the guys that carried the funds to Adolf Hitler from Wall Street, from companies like the Ford Foundation, from oil tycoons and so on, that were pumping the funds into to Hitler's war machine. Also, as far as I know, Prescott's father was part of funding the First World War. He was involved in the financing of that. And then you have George Bush, who comes in as a young man, joins the CIA. He was the paymaster of a very ultra-secret hit team called Operation 40. That was mainly consisting of the CIA people and exiled Cubans. This group was a major part of the team that took out JFK and has later been extremely central in the Iran-Contras, the Watergate, the killing of Che Guevara, the blowing up of Orlando Letizia, the overtake of Salvador Allende in Chile, the assassination of Olof Palme as well, the killing of Robert Smith in South Africa, Uwe Barschel in West Germany, and so on. Same people that have been on tour, sort of like internationally. And the paymaster for this group, George Bush Sr. And this group has followed like his, on his right side. They changed names over the years and different projects, but the core members have followed George Bush all the way up until today.
It does seem that young Bush, or idiot Bush as some like to call him, was also missing that day that JFK was shot, so I've been told.
No, that's Dad, George Bush Sr. It's Richard Nixon, who is the creator of Operation 40. He doesn't know where he was that day. George Bush doesn't know where he was that day. And E. Howard Hunt from the CIA, who was part of Operation 40, does not remember where he was that day. All other citizens of the world remember, if they were alive, where they were the day Kennedy was killed. But these three key people in the assassination have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
I would say that George Bush Sr. was in the Daltex building together with Johnny Rosselli, the shooter Chucky Nicoletti, and the spotter Nestor Izquierdo. But that's just one part of the whole. There were multiple shooters around Dealey Plaza. Richard Nixon was in Dallas the day before, and he was still in Dallas when the assassination was carried out. And E. Howard Hunt was one of the financing parts and one of the heads of one of the shooting teams in Dealey Plaza that day. So if they can't remember themselves, I can just remind you, you were in Dealey Plaza 12:30 November 22nd, 1963. If you want to confirm, just call me, please.
I asked James Fetzer the same question, but I'm going to put it to you, What do you make the theory that there were two Oswalds on that day? Because Oswald was spotted in several locations, apparently, at the same time.
No, there were multiple Oswalds. It's like this identity, Lee Harvey Oswald, is very strange because it was used by the FBI before Lee Harvey Oswald sort of arrived. While he was still in Russia, there was an Oswald in the States as well, and as far as I remember, in Mexico City as well, being reported. And J. Edgar Hoover, the chief of the FBI, who was also very much involved in the JFK assassination, meeting together with Lyndon Johnson and other people in the oil industry, like Clint Murchison and other people at the Clint Murchison Ranch the evening before the assassination, where it was given the green light to be carried out. J. Edgar Hoover wrote personal documents with big concern about who was using this identity, Lee Harvey Oswald, but this was before the assassination. This identity was used in multiple different operations beforehand. So it's very, very confusing. The JFK assassination, it is a super piece of good work when it comes to conspiracies. 50 years down the line, we're still very confused. So very different to what we see today, these type of awfully, awfully carried out false flags.
But do you think that, like I mentioned earlier, the confusion in the media, do you think with the JFK assassination, with 9/11, with all of these incidents, do you think that the confusion's helped along by the media confusion, putting out different stories all the time?
I'm sure, you know, because they have what they call intelligence and counterintelligence. You know, I wouldn't call it intelligence because I'd messed up and counter messed up. But these different agencies, they've got incredible budgets, they've got incredible staff and all of these things. And what their aim is to mess us up, you know, so that we do not find it. And they create opposition to be able to control it. They infiltrate groups. They're all over the place. They listen into programs like this. They mess up Skype. I mean, whoever is listening in on you know, recording this from an NSA or whoever, please come on, guys. Get a life, you know, and understand that you are just empty uniforms to these people. The people up in top, they do not care about you at all. As soon as they use you to whatever extent they need to use it, you're out. You're out. So get the finger off this record button, get a life, and see, smell the coffee, see what's going on, and that this is an attack globally on us, normal people, and you are normal people as well. It's just that at this point in time, you have a job at the NSA or the Homeland Security or MI6 or MI5. We're all in it together. So stop messing us up.
Yeah, come and have a chat to us on Enemy Within Radio. We'd be glad to speak to you.
Sounds great to me.
Well, these organizations, the CIA and so forth, they work very similar to secret organizations that, like the Freemasons, where the people at the bottom of the ladder are just the minions who go out and say, no, the CIA has never done anything wrong. I would know this. I work for the CIA. Just the same as in the Freemasons all the way up to the third degree. They just think it's just a club, they're doing good. Because they have no idea what is at the top of the pyramid. They have none of that information privy to them, but they think they do.
Knowledge is power. They are so aware of that, so they totally compartmentalize these operations, these organizations, and so on. So people in the CIA and the NSA, they have absolutely no idea. They know their little part. People, I would say, that carry these operations out, that do these false flags, the background actors and so on, most of them have absolutely no idea. Chemtrail pilots, they have no idea what they're actually doing. They're kept in the dark for a reason. And just with a team of assassins, they don't even know who the victim is or why he's being taken out. They just do their part. So this is standard operation to keep people in the dark. And so, but this is, the times are changing, and now, like, my website is called Light on Conspiracies. Well, it's like, let's put the spotlight right at them, on them. They have been able to get away with these things for such a long time because they've been hiding in the shadows, in the darkness, and doing all of these manipulative things so that we have not been able to see what's going on. That time is over. We see it. They pull one of these off. Thanks to wonderful people all over the globe, within seconds, these type of false flags are being dissected by people just really, really looking into the whole thing. Whoop, that's another one. That's a mistake. That doesn't fit this one. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and,
it's just like, also, you know, the thing is that with these false flag operations, they need a bad guy to do something horrible, to get the reaction from us, so that they can come with the same solution every time. Like I said, more and more centralized power, more and more militarized police, give up our freedom, give up our rights, get microchip, vaccinated, whatever. But the thing is, the theme is worn out now. It's like Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we're up to Rocky 42 now. People have seen it. You can't make up another boogeyman, you know? They're running out of options.
It does seem one of the best exposed on the alternative media. Or I think now we're becoming the real media rather than the alternative media. Is the Sandy Hook shootings? We've got the children who were supposedly died. One of them seen on the memorial service, sat on Obama's knee. Then we've got the children singing at the Super Bowl. Then we've got the shooter and his mother, they apparently died in the neighbouring state the day before the Sandy Hook massacre. So, and then we come out with the FBI saying that nobody died. So, that one's been totally blown apart, in my opinion.
It has, but this is the wonderful thing about the whole thing. You know, it's like sometimes when I was, I spent so many years looking into the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister, and they were doing the same kind of mistakes, and at one point I felt, my God, I'm just going to approach them and say, come on guys, hire me. At least it would be done professionally, because I know what to look for. You know, and because this is, not even you can be proud of this. I mean, come on. And with the Sandy Hook, oh God, I love it. It's just so badly done, so clumsy. But it's not easy. I do not envy them, because to carry out a thing like that, you need a lot of preparation, a lot of beforehand work and so on. Like, but only one of these details should just blow the whole conspiracy apart. You know, like many of these photos, these tragic photos where they take away the children and so on, they were uploaded to database the day before the event. Then you see that the update, the time to the databases where you can, I can't remember which agencies, these photo agencies, where you can buy the images. You see the time and date of when the images were uploaded 24 hours before it even happened. You know, and then you start going into details. There are thousands of things that does not make sense.
Well, another one to me that didn't fly was the MH370 incident. And at that time, I was listening a great deal to Phil McConnell and his Able Danger broadcast with David Hawkins. And Field was actually invited out as a guest of Malaysian Airlines Services. He flew out there for 3 days. And he advised them that unless they exposed the details of the Boeing Honeywell uninterruptible autopilot, that they would have another explosive event on or before July the 17th at sundown wherever he lives in the States. And lo and behold, another Malaysian plane, MH17, July the 17th, shot down over the Ukraine. I mean, that guy was... They just completely ignored his advice, and it rolled on, and he predicted the event, bang on. He said there would be a third one, and we've got another Malaysian plane was downed just recently. So why has that guy not got more attention?
I don't know.
we're just going to break, unfortunately. We'll take this up after the break. This is Enemy Within on Truth Frequency Radio.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at hempusa.org.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out?
what then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence, and the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, and that all men are created equal.
The Freedom Link.
With Joe Joseph, Monday through Friday, on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to Enemy Within on the 10th of January with our guest, Aulia Damagard. Just before the break, Andy was bringing up the missing Malaysia Airlines plane. Have you got any take on this, Aulia?
I do not, because I've been so busy with so many of the other ones. It's, there are just so many, so I need to focus on one or the other. So I haven't.
One thing I wanted to take up today was these trials. We've got an upcoming trial over the Boston bombing with Sarnoff. Possibility of a death penalty if he's convicted. How do you see that trial actually playing out? Also on the other side, we have the trial, which will probably never happen, of the mastermind of 9/11, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, because he's been tortured. All evidence is inadmissible in court. He's actually admitted to blowing up buildings which were built after he was arrested.
I mean, wouldn't you, if somebody tortured you with whatever means, wouldn't you just tell them whatever they wanted to hear? I mean, you can't use evidence like that at all.
Well, this is the thing. I actually did a YouTube video after the CIA admission of torture at Guantanamo Bay and various other torture camps. And because people on news sites, the comments, people were backing torture, saying we need to do this to stop terrorists. And I said, you're missing the whole point. If you're supporting this, you're supporting children being tortured in front of their parents. And all torture evidence is inadmissible in court because they've been tortured. If you're tortured, you will admit to being Mickey Mouse, like you said.
But this is the methods of the Inquisition, you know. How on earth are we now in a situation to even discuss this? It is totally against all type of human rights. This is the thing that, you know, has condemned countries like Iran under the Ayatollahs or the Red... Khmer Rouge, and countries like that. These have been condemned by the whole Western world before, and now suddenly it's okay because of 9/11 and whatever, and the Patriot Act and Homeland Security. Suddenly it's okay. No problem. It's just whatever to get them to say whatever. It is so out of balance. It is so not okay what's going on, and no way should this type of evidence or methods be allowed at all. These people that are using them and approving on them should go to these international courts and be sentenced for crimes against humanity.
Well, it's so blatant. Dick Cheney came out and he said, oh yeah, I would do it over again. I've made no mistakes at all. I would do it today if it was up to me.
I'm sure he would. I don't doubt it at all. Because he's one of the people behind this being legalized.
Yeah, we've got the Syrian government have put complaints into the United Nations about, it's not Dick Cheney, McCain entering Syria illegally, supposedly linked with the funding and arming of ISIS. Have you seen that, Ole?
No, I have not, but does it surprise me? Not at all.
No.
But
I would be surprised if McCann has gone there personally. That doesn't sound right. But otherwise, then we're back to the same. They are funded, trained, equipped by the enemy within. So nothing new under the sun.
Well, it's so hilarious when these groups are created, like ISIS or Al-Qaeda, come from the Mujahideen. And then the photos are shown of CIA agents, of leaders of America over there, providing them arms, providing them support when they want them to fight somebody else, when they want them to fight in a war against the Soviets or a war against Assad in Syria. Here you go, here's some weapons, and then what happens? They move on to attacks in Europe.
But they've done this for such a long time. Most people are not aware that the CIA was part of arming Fidel Castro. Then as soon as he had arms, they were arming both Fidel Castro and the Batista regime side. As soon as he was strong enough, boom, they turned him into an enemy. They did it with Saddam. They pumped in millions and millions and weapons and all of these things, turned him into an enemy. With the Shah, they pumped in millions. They put him as a puppet on the throne. Pumped in millions and millions and millions, created a massive, I think the fourth strongest army in the world. Then he became big-headed, and they turned him into the enemy, and were behind the revolution and so on. They've done it again and again and again. They create, they go in, they say, okay, now it's the Russians that's the enemy. We need to finance and fund and train the Mujahideen, okay? We get rid of the Russians. Then we have a great new boogeyman in Mujahideen. Then we use that, we turn it into Al-Qaeda. We say, now they've gone totally wild. Well, you were the ones creating them. And then it doesn't work anymore. You can't even scare little children with Al-Qaeda anymore. You know, so we need to upgrade. We need to update. So what are we going to find out? We need to find some really catchy name, you know, something like ISIS. Yeah, ISIS, that would do it, because people have heard about these... in the Egyptian mythology, the god of something like that, that's a good name, you know, it's a catchy name. So they just upgrade it. You see the pictures, oh my God, it's just the same again. These Arab leaders, you look at them, the body proportions, everything is very European. The facial features does not match at all. It's just like, it's a big hoax, but they're being carried out to create a lot of mayhem so that they can get the emotional reaction from the global audience to say, yes, it is okay what you're doing. But it is not. It is not. And we need to stop this by exposing it.
Yeah, I've seen it suggested that ISIS could be derived from Israeli secret intelligence services as well. So there's another one.
The name was used in the early 90s, exactly like that. Why they used this? I mean, the thing is, what people, not everybody understands, is that far down in the power pyramid, you got like the South American boss, the American CIA, the English MI6, the Swedish SEPO, someone very separate. They look very separate, and Mossad as well. Very separate organizations. But once you get up, the higher up you get in the power pyramid, you will see that they're actually connected. And there's a lot of interaction going on. So when you say, was it the Mossad behind the 9/11? Yes. Was CIA behind 9/11? Yes. Was MI6 involved? Possibly. Yeah. Diana, was it Mossad? Possibly. Was it CIA? Yes. Was it MI6? Yes. They're there all the time. And once you start digging into these major conspiracies, you will see that very often, near where the whole thing is carried out, they have some kind of technical center, like a communication center, where the whole operation is controlled from. And in that room, you will hear witnesses and whistleblowers saying, there was a lot of people, I have no idea who they were, We're talking like the Men in Black. I don't know who they were, but there were a lot of different languages and people talking. This is standard, you know, once you really dig into these ones. And these are the people coming from different agencies, different levels behind the power structure and so on. Totally compartmentalized so that you don't know, they don't even know each other and so on. Done by design.
Phil McConnell has suggested that a lot of these operations, if not all of them, are run through a system called the US Defense Red Switch Network, which is actually controlled by a company called Serco. If you Google the biggest company you've never heard of, Serco seem to be running air traffic control all over the world, and they're training and equipping soldiers in God knows how many different armies throughout the world. They're incredibly powerful, and nobody knows who they are.
I don't know them either, but sometimes this type of information, I think, is also pumped out to freak us out, to make us just think, oh my God, the NSA, they're so big, they're so powerful, they got us totally under surveillance, whatever I do, breathe or say, they can hear. Who knows? Is that just another way of them sending out propaganda saying that they got it by the balls big time? Or is it actually like that? I don't know.
But it was very similar to, the NSA was very similar to Bilderberg. They denied that there were actually surveilling people, that everything was recorded to phone calls, emails, Skype calls. It wasn't happening. But there was a few media stories which people ignored, the ones in the small sections, which we posted on Enemy Within Radio on Facebook, saying that everything was recorded, and they were still denying it. And then there was the massive disclosure. Oh, yeah, well, yes, we are watching everything. And it was exactly the same as you spoke earlier about Bilderberg. It was so hilarious with Bilderberg, because they used to have these documentaries. I watched one of the early documentaries, I think it was in the 90s. Alex Jones was on there, and there were various people who were talking about Bilderberg. And they were just denying it exists. And you were watching these limos come in with all these prominent people, the royalty and all these world leaders. And the documentary was still saying that everybody was nuts standing outside. It didn't exist. I mean, yeah. Who's in these limos then that you've just shown?
But we laugh now, but I mean, I've done so many years trying to expose these people, being met like a brick wall. In my book, Coup d'etat in Slow Motion, it's about the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister, but also with all the links into the Iran-Contras and many, many, many other assassinations, the pedophile gangs, the Freemasonry, all of these things. But the last 200 pages, it's 1,100 pages long. The last 200 pages, it's just membership list, the agenda and the locations from 1954 and to 2014, what has leaked out and so on, to expose who were part of this group, because they have tried to suppress this info for years and years. Now, you have, like, if you put in the Bilderberg group, you have like 1.5 million hits or something like that. When I started out, there was nothing. You just like a one-liner in the newspaper somewhere you could find. That's it. You know, so it's only thanks to very, very brave researchers that have carried on and carried on and carried on to get the info out there that it's available to most normal people. So, but this is the thing, they live on lies. And do you know, like, during the Stalin terror regime, one of the things in the Gulag, one of the things that they freaked people out with and kept them in control with was the arrest at nighttime. You had the 4 o'clock in the morning, dum 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 dum, somebody knocked on the door, and people were pulled off out of the apartments and so on, thrown on lorries and driven and never to be seen again. Once you see how they kept the population in control, because everybody was fearing this, because everybody knew that somebody had been arrested every night and this and that. But afterwards, you will see that the army or the people carrying this out was a very, very small group. It was only because it was dark and at night that they could carry these operations out because there were so few. Had it been daylight, people would have just laughed at them. But they managed to control the whole country by then. We're back to this thing. Very, very small group apparently controlling the rest of us. It's just what is it called? The Yellow Brick Road, Judy Garland film, The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz. It really is where there's this voice, very powerful voice, screaming at us, we're powerful, and you are weak. But if we pull the curtain, we will just see that there's little, tiny little old man with a microphone and a massive big amplifier, which is the media, pumping this media out.
But yeah, there was a very good film made about that by a guy called Bill Still, and I think it's called The Secrets of Oz. It's on YouTube. It's well worth watching if you haven't seen it.
Very much so. It's about the Federal Reserve as well, and the whole how money structure, how they control us.
You know, with what you've been saying, I actually have a story. I've told this many times on the show, but people who haven't heard it. During the Olympics, when they were held in London, there was a lot of conspiracy theories floating around that there may be a false flag, maybe a terrorist attack at the Olympics. And I have a friend who, he's very mainstream. He doesn't look at conspiracies at all. Usually, doesn't look at a conspiracy. He reads mainstream newspapers, watches mainstream news. And there was one floating around Facebook, and he just happened to watch it. And then he posted on his profile on Facebook, he said, just watch this documentary. It really makes you think that something's going to happen. What happens the next morning, 4 o'clock in the morning? Boom, 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 boom. Knock on the door, the police. What do you know? What do you know about a terrorist attack? And he said, what are you talking about? I've just watched a documentary.
Yeah, well, they just had the trial of that guy, was it Shrimpton, who raised the alert with the security services over a nuclear attack at the Olympics, and he's just been convicted, hasn't he? Michael Shrimpton.
It's absolutely amazing. It's amazing the surveillance that they have that over social media for such a simple thing like that. I mean, it just came up to the, I think it's two, three-year anniversary of the Olympics. Then he posted on his profile again recently. He said, I remember this. You know, that time hop that you have on Facebook, which goes back to old statuses from years ago. Well, he posted that one again. He said, I remember this.
And it was but is it done to freak the rest of us out? You know, do they just statue an example so that the rest of us will think, oh, my God, whatever I say, they have totally checked on everything. You know, I must be quiet. I must subdue. This is, because this is the way they rule or they control us by fear. So it's like people said, but do you use encrypted emails? Or what, why didn't you publish the book under pseudonym or whatever? But the thing is, you know, why even try to hide? Just go for it big time.
Well, this is the fear.
That's better.
Yeah, this is the fear that people have. I had the fear when I went to America. I went to Las Vegas and got married there. And it was my fear because of what it did.
Congratulations.
With the show and all of my conspiracy background, I was thinking, oh, are they going to pull me out of at the airport, or the TSA are going to be pulling me out? And my friends are the same. They send me messages. I've had messages over the years saying, oh, I'm going to America. Do you think they'll pull me out for things that I've put on Facebook? But this is the fear, like you say, that they're pumping into people, that if you say the wrong thing on Facebook, you might not get into another country.
Fear, fear, fear. That's the tool. You know, so I don't know. It's like I've been advised not to go to the States. People want me to come there as well. I'm confused, you know, because what good do I do if I turn up in one of these orange overalls? And, you know, but at the same time, it's like it can also be a mind game that they're playing, you know.
The thing is, my experience with the TSA, were very simple. They are like the people portray them as McDonald's workers in different shirts. They just don't know what they're doing. I thought Heathrow security was far worse in London. London airport security is horrible. It has got to be the worst airport security in the world. There can't be any worse than that. But when I visited America, we were going through the body scanners, and I thought, right, I'm going to opt out here, see what happens, because I wanted the pat down, see what happened. So I opt out, and I actually asked one of the TSA, I said, can I opt out of this? And he said, yeah, no problem. And then all of a sudden, he just shouts over to his friend, we have an opt out! And then you hear another one on the inside, we have an opt out! Opt out! Yeah. Then I get a pat down off this McDonald's worker who looked about probably 19, 20 year old, who didn't even know what he was doing. He didn't even do a proper pat down. I thought I could have had anything on me there. But it was unbelievable. Compared to London security, where you go through six or seven checks just going through one airport, six or seven of the same checks, and they're horrible to you. Horrible people.
I used to love it when I used to go through airport checks when I was involved in bike racing. I was a mechanic, and I always used to try and follow Barry Sheen because he sent all the metal detectors absolutely crazy with all the metal in his legs.
But somebody in the chat room saying, don't insult McDonald's workers. It's true, actually. McDonald's workers are better than the TSA.
But once again, all of this security is built on lies. It has been built on false flag operations, 9/11, all of these so-called terror acts that have been hoaxes that has resulted in all this. We're in science fiction land now with body scans, and I don't know what else they're trying with us. And it's 1984 times 50 nowadays, and all built on lies. So they normal people think, yeah, it's okay for me that they do all of these things, that they scan me and they whatever they do with me, because it's for my security. No, very sorry. It is to control you. It is to control you. And the more you accept these things, the easier it is for them to push these things on you on different other areas in life as well. So that you don't even notice that next time you need to get into your apartment complex, they will have an iris scan, you know, an eye scan, or you will have to palm print, or you will have to sit on something like that to make a butt print or whatever to get into your own house, and you don't even notice it.
Well,
you know?
That's a great point. That's exactly what I was going to say. The more you accept that, the more that gets pushed through. All these measures start exactly the same. They start, oh, well, this is just for this scenario. Only a few people will have the body scanner, and then it's rolled out to everybody. And then, like we see with this incident in Paris, the Sky News pushes every time there's a terrorist incident, they always say, well, we may need to put airport security in all of shops. So they would push it. They would get to the point where you had a body scanner on every store.
But the airport security doesn't work. I mean, when it first came out, I think it was after 9/11, and they were stopping people going on planes with knives. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd lost my little multi-tool, you know, the Leatherman thing. I couldn't find it anywhere. And when I was sat in the bar waiting to get on the plane in the departure lounge, I found it in my lounge pants. And I thought, oh, my God. If I tell my missus, she'd go crazy. So I'm just going to keep quiet and walk straight through. And I just walked straight through the metal detectors and nothing. So I walked through with the sharpest knife I've ever possessed. Walked straight on the plane, not a word.
Well, it's like the liquids, no liquids, no loose moisturizers or anything like that. And it was only when we got back, we realized we still had little containers full of moisturizer in the bag. And that had been through the scanner. Some guy checking through it, and he hadn't seen it.
Crazy. But one of the things that is not so very nice with these scanners is that the more radiation you get, the more cancer cells get activated in your body. You know, so that is not good news at all. So this is why I heard that you made an ad for Judith Barry Baker here before, Oswald's former girlfriend and one of the She was very, very one of the real whiz kids when it came to cancer research in the early 60s. A friend of mine as well, I must say, I'm very honored to be a friend. And one of the things she wants about are these all types of radiation things, because they might activate cancer cells in your body that are latent, you know, that are just sleeping, but they get activated, these things. So you should avoid it big time. But part of this elite group's agenda is to depopulate quite a few of us as well. So they really try to hit us from all different directions and get to our immune system. So if you can opt out, please do. I would sure do it. And it's great that you say this story. So yeah. Avoid them.
We're coming to the end of the show, so I want to give you the last couple of minutes all here to give out the links to your website, and because you need the support, obviously.
It's like every single researcher I know in the world, and I'm honored to know quite a few of them, are in a difficult situation financially. It's like if you haven't been smashed around or killed or assassinated, they get to you financially, and so anyone who would like to support what I'm trying to accomplish, which is an absolute stunning and beautiful free world for all of us to live in, please know that there are donation buttons on my website, lightonconspiracies.com. Buy my books. I've written several ones. I've got a membership area. I've got a newsletter area and so on. It really, really makes an incredible difference, because by supporting whatever researcher you trust and look up to and respect, it will make it possible for them to focus on what they're supposed to do instead of being distracted all the time or trying to feed their family, or that a flat tire on the car can make a major distraction because they haven't got the money and so on. Because this is a time when it's all happening. This is when it's happening. And it's so important for us to stay focused on this and transcend this whole thing. I would say very much in a non-violent way. So important that we do not repeat what they've tried to do to us, because violence and fear is their tool. And if we use the same tool, it will just repeat itself and continue. So let's do it in a beautiful, non-violent, and totally fearless exposure of them.
Thank you.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Real people, real radio.